You know, when we were singing that song, that phrase, my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. He spoke in my spirit and he told me, tell you, his eyes are on you. His eyes are on you. He hadn't taken his eyes off of you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. And it's going to be all right. You know why? Because there's none like him. There's just none. There's just none. Oh, let's lift up our hands and thank you for that, oh, Father. Oh, my. I'm overwhelmed. I'm just overwhelmed. Because there is none like you. There is none like you. And your eyes are on me. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. So I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I won't fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, so we receive that now. Oh, we thank you for that, Lord God. Hallelujah. Woo, that was worth the price of admission right there. Woo, man. If you don't get anything else this morning, that was woo. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful. Oh, we're so very, very thankful this morning that your eyes are on us. There is none like you. And so, Father God, right now we rest in that love. Nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing can separate us from your care. So, Lord, right now I know your spirit's moving in here. It's just working. Settling down. Settling down on everybody. There's none like you. Nothing can separate us. Your eyes are on us. So, Father God, we thank you for that. Oh, we give you all the praise and glory this morning. Father God, we thank you for this service. We yield our spirit to your spirit. We yield our mouth to your mouth. And, Father God, we thank you that we'll be quick to give you all the praise and glory. And we just thank you that you're working in this service this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, praise God, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Most of you probably know I'm not Pastor Joel Sims. Amen. I'm Marcus Whitman. I'm one of the associate pastors here on staff. Pastor Joel is in India. Praise God. He is doing the work of the gospel and be a blessing in India this week. And so praise God, we have sown him to India, but praise God, the Spirit of God is still here this morning. Amen. But Pastor sends his love. Wanted us to tell you how much he cares about you and how much he loves you and how thankful he is for each and every one of you. Well, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse specifically. I'm going to ask them to put the Amplified version up on the screens. Galatians 5 and verse 6 in the Amplified. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when I was asked to minister this morning, I knew immediately, oh, there you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I knew immediately what I was supposed to share on. And so this is a message that I grabbed a hold of in earnest back in the 90s. And it really has steered my life, but the Lord keeps taking me back to this over and over again, especially with this year. You know, Pastor Robert shared about this on Wednesday, about this being a bridge year and getting on that bridge and about obedience and some other things. And in relationships. And I think this kind of dovetails right into that. And so in Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 1. And I'm going to go down to verse 6. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. Faith that worketh by love. Everybody say this, faith works by love. Now, I love the Amplified. This has always been my favorite translation of this verse. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. I love that. Activated, energized, expressed through love. You know, the other morning I was going to my small group. I have a small group that meets at 6 a.m. on Wednesday mornings, early risers. And so we meet downtown at a certain spot. And so I was walking in for my small group, and then one of the guys called me. I recognized his number and said, "Hey, man, what's up?" He said, "Hey, Marcus, I just ran out of gas." He said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Do you need me to come get you?" He said, "No." He said, "There's a gas station right around the corner, but I wanted to let you know I'm going to be a little bit late." See, he found out that his car works by gasoline. How many of you know your car just doesn't work without gasoline? Gasoline is a wonderful thing, and it belongs in the tank of your car. And I'm here to tell you, when you've got gasoline in your car, it activates, it energizes, and causes your car to be expressed. Vroom, vroom, vroom. If you've got a Corvette, that is. Amen. You know, he found out very quickly that he had to go get some more gas and stick it in his car for it to work. Because it wouldn't work without any gas. Gasoline is the fuel that makes your car work. But I'm here to tell you that love is the fuel that makes your faith work. Love is the fuel. And it's that fuel that makes your faith work. It's that fuel that makes your faith activated, makes it energized, and it's expressed by love. You know, so many times when we talk about faith, we want to define it. For me, very simple, the Marcus Whitman Standard Revised Edition version of faith, my definition has basically always been this: trust and confidence in God to the point that I was fully persuaded that he'd do whatever he said he would do. See, faith is trust and confidence, first of all, in God, in his word, that you believe. You're fully persuaded he's going to do whatever he said he would do. See, faith is not a formula. Faith is a relationship. Faith is relational more than it is mechanical. You know, we've got formulas for everything. When I was a kid going to school, I took physics, I took chemistry. Thank God I've been redeemed. I no longer have to do that. But we would come up to the cafeteria before a test, and my study partner said, "How you doing?" I said, "Hey, I got a few formulas. I'm ready." The problem was I didn't understand the formulas. And I never made as good a grade on those physics tests as I thought I would. I had formulas, but I didn't have understanding. See, we can have the formula of faith. We can hear and try to believe and say and do and praise God and receive. That's the formula. That's the mechanics. That's the 1-2-3s, and that's all good stuff. But without the relationship, it's not going to work. Without this relationship, my faith not going to work real well. Over here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, the father of faith, Abraham, said that Abraham was fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and do what he had promised. The other version said he was fully persuaded that God would keep his word. I'm here to tell you, Abraham had never read Mark 11, 23. Abraham had never heard a sermon preached by Brother Hagin or Pastor Joel. But what he had was a relationship. And that relationship activated, energized, and empowered his trust and his confidence that he'd have a little boy, even though his wife was a little older. And he was definitely a little older, 100 years old. It was activated. It was expressed because of this relationship. And the foundation of your relationship with God is his love for you. Your faith won't work without love, because love is the foundation of everything, and it's God's love for you. You know, Jesus, God's Son, he knew that his Father loved him. When he came up out of the water, after he was baptized in the River Jordan by John, he heard his daddy say, "This is my beloved son." What he heard is, "This is my boy, and I love him." And then he said, "I'm proud of you." And he got up and he walked out of there empowered by that love. He did his entire ministry, and he'd always go back to how much his Father loved him. And my Father's going to love you just as he loves me. See, Jesus' faith, his confidence, his trust, he was fully persuaded that God would do what he said he would do, which was, "You go to the cross, son, and I'm going to raise you up. You're going to go to hell for 3 days, but I'm going to raise you up." And he was so confident in his love that it caused him to do what his Father asked him to do. You get it? You see the connection here? Faith fully persuaded. The love of God. I'm here to tell you one of the greatest revelations you need and I need every single day is how much God loves us. He's in love with you. And he never falls out of love with you, no matter what you do and no matter what you say. How many of you have ever put your foot in your mouth? I know I have. I mean, it's one of the greatest things a preacher has to deal with. Keep your foot out of your mouth while you're preaching. But no matter what, he loves you. Over here in the book of John, the greatest example of this by an individual, I believe, ever, is over here in the book of John. Let me find it here on my, because I wrote it down. I like the way it's expressed. In John 13, 21 through 26, this is the NIV version. And this is Jesus with his disciples. Jesus is with them at the Last Supper, as we call it, about to receive communion with them. And he's sitting there at the table as they've done all this. And after he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. And Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to the Judas, the son of Iscariot. But the part I want to call you to is the Apostle John, who wrote the book of John, also 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. John said of himself, one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved. How would you like to refer to yourself as disciple whom Jesus loved? I'm here to tell you, Jesus loved all of the disciples. However, John had the revelation of this love. He understood that Jesus loved him. He understood that God loved and cared about him so much that he was comfortable sitting right next to Jesus, and it said he leaned up against Jesus. He was comfortable. He was intimate. He was close to him. He had a relationship with him, but it was based on the revelation that Jesus loves me, he likes me, and he wants me to sit here. I don't know about you, but I'm tingling all over with that revelation and understanding that he wants me to sit by him. He wants to put his arm around me. And he cares about me. 5 times in the book of John, he refers to himself as disciple whom Jesus loved. What empowered his relationship with Jesus was the fact that he knew he was loved. See, when you know that somebody loves you and cares about you deeply, you want to be close to them. It draws you in. But if you think they're mad at you, if you think they don't like you, if you think they belittle you, guess what happens? You move away from them. And of all the disciples, there was one guy, one guy only, who was comfortable with his relationship with Jesus. And when he said the disciple whom Jesus loved, he used the word agape. He said, he agapes me. See, agape love has two incredible characteristics that you must grab a hold of every single day of your life. Agape love, number one, is unconditional. You don't have to meet conditions to be loved by God. You can't be good enough or bad enough for him to love you any less or any more. He loves you. Think about that. Natural human love is based on conditions. Did you get me something for Christmas? Come on now. My birthday, you missed it. Valentine's Day, you didn't give me anything. You must not really love me. Got to make conditions. See, God's love for you is unconditional. Has nothing to do with you, has everything to do with him. And number two, it's not based on performance. Ooh, you ought to say, amen. Oh, yeah. I do not have to perform to get him to love me. Oh, my good. Oh, man. Whew. I don't have to perform. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to be good enough. I don't have to just read two more scriptures in order to get God's approval. No, he already approves me. I've been accepted in the beloved, and he likes me. While I was a sinner, he died for me. He cared about me. When I was unlovable, he loved me. When I was all messed up, he said, don't worry about it. Whew, I love you. Talk about trust and confidence. When you know somebody loves you that much, it gives you trust and confidence that they're going to do what they said they would do for you and to you. Relationship. See, I believe as we move into 215 and we get across this bridge, what's going to empower you and activate you and energize your faith as you move forward is God's love for you and being secure and rooted and grounded deep in that love. Whew. So you've got this guy. His name's John. And he's leaning up. And Peter, he's down the table. Peter's not as comfortable with Jesus. Even though he's one of the three, he's still, Every time Peter talks about love with Jesus, it's phileo, not agape. You know I phileo you, Jesus. You know I've got brotherly love for you. So he said, hey, John, talk to Jesus for me. Ask him. John didn't have to go anywhere. John just said, hey, Jesus, who is he? Jesus, John, it's the one who's going to dip. Here I go. And he dipped. John is the only disciple at the cross. John is the only one who had a relationship and understood the love that Jesus had for him and that he received that love, but now he's giving back that love. Two sides of love. Godward side and the manward side. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. He's the only one at the cross. Think about it. Jesus is up there, and it says he looked down at the disciple whom he loved, and he said, woman, see your son. Man, see your mother. I wonder where his natural brothers were. You know, James, one of his brothers, became the head of the Jerusalem church, but the one he entrusted his mother to was John, the beloved, who understood love. Think about that. That's a heavy rabbi. He understood love. And he said, I'm going to give my mother to you because you understand, you've received my love, and you'll be able to love her the way I love you. Big point. The Godward side of love God loves you. Jesus loves you. You must receive it. And that's up to you. You've got to receive his love. You've got to accept the revelation of that love and realize it's not based on your conditions, not based on your performance. And you have to get immersed in that love, because when you do, then you can give that love away. But until you're loved accurately by God and you see him the way he really is, you can't love others the way they need to be loved. See, if you think that you've got to perform for God, if you've got to meet conditions for God, then what happens when others are loving you? They've got to meet conditions and they've got to perform. Everybody say, oh me. Have you ever lived there? To where you had to prove yourself and perform, and you know that if you didn't do it just right, oh, that eggshell's about to crack. And it's going to explode. No, 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 no. See, John had received it. Now John could give it away. He had received that love. Now he could give that love away. Church tradition tells us that of all the disciples, John was the only one who did not experience a violent, brutal death of a martyr. Of all the apostles, he was the only one. He lived to be, they believe, 96 years old. He went home to be with the Lord in 100 AD, and a lot of people say he just left his body and went to heaven. So as he got older, he was in Ephesus, and that's where he lived, and he pastored in Ephesus finally, and finally he went to Rome. And the Roman emperor at the time despised John. I wonder why. He's the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's full of love. He can't do anything with the guy. So he decides, we're going to martyr him, but we're going to do it in a vat of oil. So they put a cauldron of oil, and they boiled it, and they stuck him in the oil. And the disciple whom Jesus loved just wouldn't boil. Can't boil this, man. Can't boil this. Couldn't boil him. There was too much love, too much faith oozing out of him, and he just wouldn't boil. They pulled him out of the vat, totally normal. Nothing happened to him. It was such an incredible miracle. It is said that everyone in the Colosseum that day was converted to Christianity on the spot because of the miracle. Faith which worketh by love. Activated, energized by love. It made the Roman emperor so mad, he said, I'm going to banish you to the island of the prisoners called Patmos. But the disciple whom Jesus loved showed up on the Isle of Patmos and gave him the revelation of John. And then when he finally, when the Roman emperor passed away, the other one said, it's okay, he can come home. And he lived his days out. By that time, he's in his late 80s, early 90s. He lives his days out in Ephesus. And it is said that they would carry him to church. They said his disciples and the people who loved him would literally carry him to church. They would ask John the Beloved to speak. And this is what they said. He would always say this. He would always say, little children, love one another. And they'd say, why do you always say this, John? And he would say, it is the Lord's command, was his reply. And if this alone be done, it is enough. See, if you read the book of 1 John, it's a revelation of God's love for you, God's love for me, and then also we can receive that love and then give that love to everyone else. See, when you realize how much God cares for you, when you every day talk about Jesus loves me, then you can love others even as he has loved you. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Look at the love that Jesus has for you. Catch this. I want you to write this down and go meditate on this verse. This verse set me on fire back 20 plus years ago. Changed my life. Changed my view of God and me. John 17, 23. I'm in them and you are in me. This is Jesus talking to God. He's praying right before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Say this with me. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Oh, my. He doesn't love you any less. He doesn't love you any more. He loves you the same. Think about that. Do y'all think God loves Jesus? Yeah. He loves you. Love them as much as you love me. Ephesians 2, 4 in the Amplified Version. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and the wonderful intense love with which he loved us. God's love for you is great. It's wonderful and it is intense. See, the Father wants to have an intimate relationship with you, and it's done through receiving his love for you. Think about this. If you get the revelation of how much God loves you, then you know there's nothing that can separate you from his love. Then you know he'll withhold no good thing from you because he loves you. You know that his promises are yes and amen, and they are true. And you know, because you're so secure in his love, you know, oh, praise God, when I pray that prayer, he hears it and he answers that prayer. And his love for you and your love for him, your relationship with him, then empowers the formula or the steps or the process of faith. You're believing, you're speaking, you're doing, you're praising, and you're receiving. Because you're secure in his love. But not only are you secure in his love, but now you're giving his love away. He said, love others even as or just like I've loved you. How does he love you? Unconditionally. How does he love you? Not based on your performance. And there are four things that I preach in my house weekly, probably even daily. You can ask my wife and my daughter. Four things about love in our home that we want to receive every day from God and we want to give away every day from God. Number one, love gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It gives, it doesn't condemn. It's not hard, it's not demanding, it's giving. It puts the other guy first. Number two, it forgives. Oh, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's always forgiving you. He told Peter, Peter said, Lord, should I forgive my brother seven times a day? He said, Peter, forgive him 70 times seven. How much more would the Lord forgive you 70 times seven? Number three, I talk about First part is what we give to each other. We're going to give and we're going to forgive. But then I'm always talking, how are we going to respond or react to each other? If I, for some reason, am not giving and loving and forgiving, how are you going to respond to me? How's my wife going to respond, or how am I going to respond to her? I respond with patience and I respond with kindness. Did you realize that God's long-suffering to you? He's merciful, he's gentle, he's kind to you. But because he is, now I can give that away. And if somebody says something to me or treats me adversely, then I can give them patience. I can give them more time than necessary to get it right. And when I react, I don't react in anger, I react with grace. Amen. And then each and every individual I deal with, because he's been so very kind to me, then I can be kind and gentle with them, even if it's in a corrective situation, I can still flow in the love of God. See, that was the whole understanding that the Apostle John brought to us, was a life in which he received the love of God. It caused him to be secure in that love. And then now he said, I'm going to give that love away. And I believe it's that characteristic of knowing how to give and how to forgive and how to be patient and how to be kind. I believe that was one of the key traits and understanding of love that allowed Jesus to say, woman, behold your son. I'm going to give you to somebody who'll be able to love you just as I loved you. See, when you get a hold of that, then all of a sudden, your relationship, your confidence in God, it goes out the roof. How could he not freely give me all things? Because he loves me. How could he ever leave me or forsake me? Because he said he never would, and he loves me. I'm not alone, because he loves me. Over here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, we call these Ephesians prayers, Ephesians 1, and then Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, I love it in the Amplified Version, so I'm going to read it to you this way. And I'm going to just pick up in verse 16 for time's sake. And he's praying and saying, I pray that God the Father would grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. See, he wants you to be rooted and grounded deep in his love for you. He wants you to get a revelation and experience and understand, I love you, and you don't have to earn it. I love you, and you don't have to perform. But when you receive that type of love and you begin to love back, then all of a sudden you begin to do acts of love. And now loving others becomes natural, and it's no longer mechanical. It's no longer a formula. It's no longer do's or don'ts. Now you're doing it because he loves me, and I'm going to give it away, and I love you. And now all of a sudden you're rooted and grounded in his love. You know, last year we had a lot of rain at our house, and our backyard and our neighbors got just full of water, and I would walk out into my backyard, and I'm here to tell you, folks, I would just sink and pop the leg up and make that sound, and you pull the leg out, and you just sink in again. And so a storm came through right about that time, and my neighbor had a huge oak tree in their backyard. And that oak tree was doing just fine, but when a gust of wind came, and it literally knocked the oak tree over. And when that oak tree fell over, you could see all the roots of the oak tree. And it, you know, the root ball was about this high. And the roots were sticking out. See, the problem was not the root system. It had plenty of roots. The problem was the soil. It had gotten loose. It had gotten mushy. It had let go of the roots. And so when that wind blew, all of a sudden, it tumped over. All of a sudden, it blew over. See, you've got to be rooted and grounded in God's love for you. You've got to be so secure in his love that it grabs hold of your faith. And because you have such a great relationship with him, now your faith is relational, not mechanical, not just a formula, but now you know how much he loves you and you have a relationship with him each and every day. You're fellowshipping with him. You're receiving that. You're not having to prove anything. You're just receiving it. And all of a sudden his love grabs a hold of your faith and your roots and grabs a hold of you. And no matter what wind blows, you're not going to fall over. But you've got to meditate on his love. You've got to talk about his love. If you go around, oh, God just can't love me. Uh-oh. I just done too much wrong. Uh-oh. I don't know. Uh-oh. Because all of a sudden you've gotten your eyes on yourself. You've gotten over into shame and guilt. And now his love. Uh-uh. You know when His love is most securing for you is when you do miss it. Oh, my goodness. And see, when you're rooted and grounded in the soil of God's love, then all of a sudden your faith is activated, energized, and it works. Just like this plant is rooted and grounded in this soil, it's activated, it's energized, and now it's expressing itself. It's opening up. And what you want to do every single day is to be rooted and grounded and secure in His love. And the way that you're rooted and grounded and continue to receive His love is every single day, give it away. Don't hang on to it. Be giving, be forgiving, be patient, be kind. Just give it away. But as you give it away, you'll get more of it. And you'll get so rooted and grounded, all of a sudden, it'll be expressing. Your faith will be expressive. And whatever you believe for, you shall receive. I'm here to tell you, this love, oh my goodness, this love, when I get rooted and grounded in it, there's nothing easier in life. Remember over there in Matthew 11:30, I'm going to ask him to put it on the screen. Matthew 11:30 in the King James is just fine. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It's going to be okay." He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know what he's talking about there, folks? I believe he's talking about his love for you. See, the God kind of love is easy to be received. The God kind of love, oh my goodness, it removes every burden and every weight from your life. And then when you choose to love others the same way, unconditionally, not based on performance, you're giving, forgiving, patient and kind, then all of a sudden, you've taken of His yoke, you've learned of Him, this yoke of love, and it removes every single burden from your life. And then all of a sudden, your relationships take off. Your relationship with God, your relationships with other, and now your faith, your trust and confidence in God, to the point that you're fully persuaded that He'll do whatever He said He would do, all of a sudden your faith takes off. And that it is expressed. You know, I agree 100% with our pastor. This is a bridge year. And it's a year of strengthening your relationships and moving forward. And what strengthens in your relationships is, first of all, receiving the unconditional love of your daddy. Knowing when you call on His name, He's there. Knowing that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, He's there. Knowing that every promise He gave, He would confirm it. When He said you'd lay hands on the sick, they would recover, they will. When you pray according to His will, He hears you and answers, and He does. And you're in that love, and the wind can blow, and the storms can come, and they can rage. But you're in His love. Nothing can touch you. You're in His love. And even in the midst of the storm, you find somebody to give it away to. And then all of a sudden, you realize that every day He said in His word that the Holy Spirit, we would receive His love. And the love would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. Every single day, there is a flow of love to you by the Spirit of God. Every day it's flowing. Nothing can separate you from His love. Not height or depth, not storms or tribulation, not even your sin can separate you from His love. Because every day the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, loving you and pouring love into you and telling you are accepted. You are the beloved. You are my son. You are my daughter. And every day there's a stream of love and it's flowing into you. And then you get to allow that love to flow out of you. And those relationships blossom and grow. And then your faith goes from faith to faith and glory to glory. And nothing that you ask will be denied because he loves you. Say this with me. He loves me. Say this. He's in love with me. Say this. I receive his love. Father, we're so thankful for that love. We're so thankful for the love wherewith you loved us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And Father, I pray right now, the sower sows the word. Let people walk out today energized and activated and completely comfortable in the love that you have for them. Oh, Father God, I just thank you for your love that's flowing right now into each and every individual. They sense your love from the very beginning of this service. Oh, you've got your eyes on them. You care about them. You love them. With everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, no one looking around. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You may be in here today and you may have never received the gift of Jesus, of eternal life, the true gift of love that God gave us. He said, if you'd call upon the name of the Lord, you would be saved. He said, if you would confess your sins, he would forgive you and bring you into fellowship and relationship with you. If you're in here and you say, Pastor Marcus, I know I'm far from the Lord, or I know I've never asked Jesus to be in my heart. If you're in here and that's you, with your eyes closed, heads bowed, just raise your hand up real quick. And I'm going to pray for you and with you today. You just raise your hand up and let the Lord know, hey, this prayer is for me. I'm coming home to you. I'm receiving your love today. If that's you, just raise your hand up real fast and put it down. Thank you so much. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I receive your love today. I receive that unconditional, non-performance-based love. I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. I confess my sins. I receive forgiveness. And today, I wrap myself up deep in your love. Thank you for loving me. I receive your love in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Well, thank you for coming out this morning and worshiping.